Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. His page one story today in the Chicago Tribune is about how restaurants are adapting. Hey, Phil, welcome back to the show. Nice to hear you. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks for asking, having me on.
Go ahead and talk about wildlife and how it's been propagating. Just kind of segue into that for me, will you, please?
Fine. Well, I see them every now and then in my backyard. There was a fox a couple of months ago. It was funny. I was walking out to the back of the property, and he was just lying there where the vegetables grow and didn't seem to be inclined to jump up and run away until I got much closer, and then he kind of moved along.
Was this your property downtown?
No, this is out in the suburbs, so yeah. There are more. They've been out here for a while.
You know, it's well known because they just every time we see them, and we meaning the people that live in Chicago, see them, they take pictures of them and post them on social media. But there's a couple of gray. They can't be wolves, right? They must be coyotes that live in the cemetery just north of Wrigley Field off of Clark. There's this enormous Graceland Cemetery. It's beautiful. It's an arboretum. And there's a couple of coyotes that are just trotting around looking at you looking at them. You can get 50 feet away from them and take their picture. They're cool with that. They're having a nice life there, you know? All right, let's talk a little bit about your page one story, which is in a terrible year, some inspired ways that restaurants have sort of figured out how to survive. And I guess I know what inspired this, but what got you going on this story, Phil?
Well, it's, you know, the annual year in review thing, and I'm trying to, in talking about the devastating year that 2020 was for the industry, I also wanted to point out how incredibly resilient and strong many of our restaurant owners have been in finding ways to survive, to persevere.
So then you list a bunch of them, Alinea and Urban Belly and Prairie Gas Cafe, Virtue, the Let Us Entertain You chain. Start with one of those. Give me an example of how a restaurant has changed its operation to survive in a pandemic.
Well, Alinea switched to a pickup, carry out and delivery, but mostly carry out model. And they took a very smart approach that I think a lot of restaurants have been following as a result. They, of course, used their talk system where people could do their ordering and do everything and pay for it way up front so they could be true contactless carry out. But also they set things up where you reserved a pickup time much in the way you used to reserve a table. In other words, you'd go for the meal and you'd order this and you'd look at the available pickup times and you'd say, okay, I'll pick 4:30, and that was the appointed time. And so when you pulled up, there were people waiting outside. You had given them your driver's license, your car license plate, and they spotted you, they loaded your car up, and you were off and running, and when you got home, you saw that everything had been meticulously packed, and there were very specific instructions on reheating and even some hints on how to plate the dishes to make the experience as close to the restaurant as possible. In the same way Rick Bayless did his, he took Topolobampo and he called it Topolobampo at Home, and you could get a multi-course dinner all packaged up, and not only did he include all the instructions, there was also a link to a video so you could watch, you could prepare it alongside a video of Rick doing the same thing, and he also had a link to some Latin music, the same kind of tunes it played in the background at the Topolobampo dining room, and you could play that, but the link was to like 2-3 hours worth of music, so you could Spotify that and pretend you're in a restaurant.
Yeah, these are you know, it's funny because we think of the way we're living and we say to ourselves these days, we should have been living that way a long time ago. And by that, I mean hygiene, mask, distancing, just being more socially conscious of how we spread disease. And maybe restaurants are realizing we all along could have been more interactive with our audience. We could have been a little more there for them, even among these famous, innovative restaurants. Nobody was doing this sort of stuff before the pandemic.
That's true. They were for some it might have been a little too much to take on, but they being presented with a world in which this was the only way they could conduct business, some of them adapted pretty quickly. I don't mean to make it sound like the ones that did the restaurants that went under this year were the ones that failed to adapt. There were all kinds of different factors at work for a lot of the closings, principally rent and expiring leases, which kind of made the decision easy for a lot of restaurants.
I guess so, although, you know, Elif handed me a list of restaurants that have restaurants and bars in Chicago that are permanently closed. And this printout runs 70 pages. 70 pages since, what, probably April. And maybe more like May, right? Because for a while, some of them were hanging on, and then we shut them down again. So it's probably even more recent than that. And the list, is it just goes on and on. It's tough. Literally, as a restaurant critic, you'll have fewer places to review. Although, I don't know, Phil, don't you suppose that in those spaces, new restaurants and bars will surface? Maybe the same owners, maybe different owners?
Quite possibly. I mean, the creativity is there, and certainly the talent pool in the kitchen is such that a lot of restaurants could resurface, or new restaurants will spring up in existing spaces. The thing I think will be determining whether a new space becomes a restaurant again is whether that space has any availability for outdoor dining, because I think nobody is going to sign a lease on a space that offers no outdoor dining. And I don't think anyone in the future is going to sign a lease that does not include at least some sort of relief clause if circumstance like this were ever to resurface or rebound. If I'm leasing a space, I want to know how much outdoor space I can possibly have, and I want to know if I can get some rent relief if the if the state or local government closes me down for whatever reason.
Yeah, no kidding. 312-981-7200 is my phone number. Where have you eaten lately? Well, we'd like to ask that question when Phil's on. You can review the service or the food or the staff or the clientele at a restaurant. And I know for most of us now it's going to be takeout stories. I have two, one that we used for Christmas and one that maybe we'll use for New Year's Eve. And maybe you've got some recommendations along those lines, Phil. 312-981-7200. Call now. This is WGN. For Christmas Eve, I brought a dinner to my parents from Cafe Selle Marie in Lincoln Square. That was terrific, Phil. They packaged it really nicely. They were very conscientious about safety when I went to pick it up. They walked it to my car. There was a nice, generous slices of ham, a really rich, delicious, herby kind of potato au gratin. There were some Brussels sprouts in there, real nice potato rolls that were really delicious when we warmed them up, a good salad with good, really good dressing. It came with a pie. It came with a nice bottle of Pinot Noir. We also ordered a quiche for breakfast the next morning. And I think it was a little more than $200 out the door. I'm probably missing some of the components of it, but it was just a real nice package. And I don't know if they're doing something like that for New Year's Eve, but that was a fair trade for me. We couldn't dine in. I didn't want to take the time or have the resources to do all of that. It was so nice to just pick it up and then be able to deliver it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. And by the way, the food was delicious. That was from Cafe Selle Marie in Lincoln Square. So they're still open. But when you go there, it's just such a shame, you know, the little feet on the ground in the store, everybody's distanced apart. And that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah.
We also got a quiche from Bake not that long ago. And wow, was that delicious. And they're still up and running, a really good bakery in Chicago. And the quiche is terrific. I think there might be one of them with Bake.
I've done three of them recently. About a week ago, I went to Piccolo Sonio and Bistronomic. Did a joint dinner, a joint operation, so you could pick up at either restaurant. And I got some fish soup with ossobuco and lemon tart, and that was just that was wonderful, particularly that fish soup. I hope Bistronomic puts that back on the menu. last night, my friends and I split a big meal at from Ever, which is the big four-star restaurant out on Fulton Market, except they had yesterday only pickups out in Naperville. They drove the stuff out to Naperville to Sparrow Coffee there, and you could pick things up. So I got kale salad and a mushroom tart and some lamb stew, which was just mind-blowing. A little tiramisu for dessert, a pound of Sparrow Coffee that was thrown in there, and some baguettes. And for Christmas dinner, I bought it a couple of days ahead. We got a rib roast from Public and Quality Meats, and you're basically prime rib. You're great rib roast that had been aged for 50 days, and added a little charcuterie and some pate, man. And just had ourselves a protein feast.
How'd you cook that rib roast, sir?
Rib roast, actually, my son cooked it. He had a plan. So what he did is he put it in the oven at about, it came with the spice rub, too. So we rubbed that in pretty good and let that sit for about an hour. And then into a 475-degree oven for about 20, 25 minutes. And then he cut the temperature way down to about 325 and did maybe another 45 minutes that way. It was a 5-pound roast. And it came out beautiful, medium rare, just worthy of a picture. It was a great hunk of meat.
Did you Instagram it, sir?
I did not. I kept it to myself. I'm telling you, you're the first person I've told.
It's sort of like if a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it.
Did I even eat that day?
If someone has a rib roast but they don't Instagram it, did they really have the roast? I'm not sure.
According to my bathroom scale, yes, I did.
Take a picture of your feet on the scale.
That would be it. How good was last night's dinner?
Let's check this out.
Here's yesterday's number, and here's today's number.
0 to 60. Zoom. we also got... we went to Mariano's, but we also ordered some meat from Minos, M-I-N-O-S. And this guy has called in on our show a couple times and told us about what he was doing. And Minos is out in, as I recall, he's in Hinsdale. And it's Hinsdale. And he was in the business of delivering meat to restaurants. Now he delivers meat to your door. You can also ship it. So I sent a beef tenderloin to my brother in Arizona. And then we also got some for us. And steaks and burgers and all of that. But it's sort of the restaurant quality and the restaurant cut, so really nice thick or whatever.
Very nice.
And I put that on the grill and tried not to overdo it, because I think J.B. Pritzker has signed a law. You get fined if you overdo a filet.
I support that. I support that.
Anybody who's cooking at medium plus, you actually have to pay $2,500 fine.
Right, and I would throw some animal cruelty charges on top of that.
Right,
I mean, if an animal's going to die so you can eat, at the very least, you need to treat that
meat
with respect.
Have the decency to cook it properly.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Speaking of which, I sent for Christmas. I sent my son in Houston. I sent him a Chicago care package, steaks from Gene and Giorgetti.
Nice,
and a couple three Lou Malnati pizzas.
Anybody getting a Lou Malnati's pizza, I'll tell you what, that's such a smart business model for them. And it's been that way all along, but that's been great during the pandemic. You can get it delivered to yourself here in Chicago, but that's just a real good gift for people.
Yeah, you can ship those out. Yeah. I even threw in the pizza pan and the signature.
And they know what they're doing.
Signature flipper.
They do it really well. By the way, Producer Elif, what is the average American income, please?
$35,977, John.
That sounds low to me. $35,000?
Well, if it's individual rather than household, yeah, it could be true.
Yeah, maybe so, because I guarantee 50-something is in there as well, but maybe that's... All right, Elif, look up household income next. Average household income. But so this just goes back to our debate about, we've told the whole sector of the economy, you can't work anymore. You cannot earn a living. And then we quibble over giving them $2,000 every 6 months to survive. I mean, that just makes no sense. Producer Olive, household income, please.
$68,703, John.
$68,703. Okay. So when Phil and I get to be king, those checks go flying. I'm hearing from people today. My Facebook post is asking you, did you get your $600? And some of you are saying yes. Somebody said yes, it's post-dated to January 4th. I don't know what that means. If you want to read about the restaurant business and how it is surviving cleverly in Chicago, read Phil Vitale's piece in the Tribune, page one today. Tribune critic Phil Vitale reflects on a terrible year for Chicago restaurants and the inspired ways some have adapted to survive. You keep adapting and surviving, sir, and let's try and visit next week, okay?
I would be happy to. Thank you.
Happy to survive and visit with us both?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. We'll talk to you soon. That's Phil Vitale.